Let us pray. As we dwell for a moment in your word, help us to become engulfed in the scripture so that we too may experience that moment of Pentecost when all could understand and hear your voice among those who preached. Transform our lives through your word, just as you did that day. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading comes today from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. It's a story that we've probably heard before. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" Now, there's a whole bunch of countries listed there that I'm just going to skim over because of the difficulty in pronouncing all those names. "In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves and both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, and smoky mist. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of God for those of us sitting here today. The city was teeming with people from every race and nation on earth, it seemed, kind of like our map over there. It was the Feast of Weeks, the third of the great festivals of Judaism. It was a joyful time in the city. It was like one great big party organized by the Celebrations ministry team. Faithful Jews had brought the first fruits of their harvest to the temple in order to make sacrifices to God. The air was thick with praise and thanksgiving in a multitude of languages. Now, an image that comes to my mind was the first and only time that I went to Yosemite National Park, and it was about 1993, 92, somewhere around in there. I was surprised as I was making my way to the falls that except for the three people that were with me, it seemed as if we were the only Anglo-English-speaking people on that path to the falls. Everybody else, it felt like, was speaking another language. And I've noticed since that time, the years since that time, I've noticed the diversity in people and languages more and more, haven't you? Even in our local grocery store, right? That's how Jerusalem was on that Pentecost day. Jews coming from the four corners of the earth to this one place to worship God and offer their praise and thanksgiving. The apostles were there too. The 12, along with a whole host of other followers who were reeling from what had taken place just a few days earlier outside the city, when Jesus, remember, was taken up into heaven from them, Jesus had told them at that point to stick together and to wait. And that's just what they did. In the midst of their confusion and questions, instinctively, they sought out each other for comfort and support. They talked together. They prayed together. They broke bread together. They tried to make sense of what had happened and what was to come. They needed each other desperately. And what they were forming was community, right? And that's when it happened. When they were least expecting anything out of the ordinary, the wind like a hurricane, and then the fire, knocking them off their feet, giving them a new voice for their words of praise. They spoke as one possessed. They heard themselves speaking, and they didn't know how they were speaking in a language unknown to them. The experience was completely unexplainable. Now, I just can't imagine that scene. And if you don't know this about me, I have a very active imagination. Sometimes it can be a little overactive, but even in my overactive imagination, I can't even imagine this scene. The crowds outside the house wanted some answers for this spectacle. What is the meaning of this unnatural occurrence? What is going on? How is it that all of you Galileans, and yet I can hear you speaking in my own language, are you drunk? Are you mad? Now, it's practically impossible to describe this scene. The closest that I can imagine to this scene happened during the Second Great Awakening of the 19th century. Remember that? Which gave birth to the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. The event, or the experience, began in Kentucky. In the Cumberland region of that area in 1800. One of the main preachers was Reverend James McGrady, who at that time was a Presbyterian minister, who later became a Cumberland Presbyterian minister. And in fact, you get this as an extra. McGrady Presbytery is actually my home presbytery. It later became known as Hope Presbytery. And then this is a little extra that you're getting for come today. McGrady Presbytery, as far as I can remember, has only ordained three women into the ministry. Me, I think I was the first one. Peggy Jean Craig was the second one. And Susan Parker, who preached for us last week. And isn't it interesting that all three of us are here in Memphis? You didn't get extra for that. It's just a little extra. His was a sermon like many of the preachers during those days of what? Like Jonathan Edwards, hellfire and damnation. Preaching of an angry God. During his sermons and that of the other preachers of his time, the worshipers would often fall down into a trance or shout out with groans or cries or prayers or other expressions of God's movement during those revivals, including shaking, barking, right? Have y'all heard this story? Barking, convulsions, passing out. It happened during the Second Great Awakening at Cane Ridge in Bourbon County, Kentucky, in August of 1801. Remember, our church started in 1810. In August of 1801, it was estimated that there were 20,000 people. Remember, they had to get there by horse and buggy and horse. And of the 20,000 people, records say that 3,000 people fell to the ground under the unnatural excitement. Even then, folks questioned the spectacle. What is this thing that's happening? Are they sick? Drunk? Well, it was just as difficult then to explain it as it was on the day of Pentecost. The difference, I think, between the day of Pentecost and the great revival of 1800 is one of witness. The apostles, when blown apart by the winds of God and set on fire by God's Spirit, proclaimed the works of Jesus Christ. That's what the apostles did. They spoke of God's power. That's what they were trying to say in all of those many languages. They were talking about the mighty acts of God. And what do you think they were proclaiming? Maybe they were talking about the time when Lazarus was raised from the dead out of that dank, smelly tomb wrapped up in grave cloth. Maybe they were talking about that. Maybe they told the story of Jesus feeding the multitude. That had to be a powerful story, right? Maybe they shouted out about how Jesus and they caused the blind to see and the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. Maybe they were just telling some of their favorite stories that Jesus had told. Maybe. So our question today, what deeds of God would we proclaim if the Holy Spirit came whipping through here and knocked us out of our cushioned chairs, setting us on fire? Would we be shouting out words of thanksgiving over answered prayers, test results that have come back negative, bodies healed, the miracle of medicine, the support of friends, kids who've made it through another year of college without incident, those who finally graduated maybe, and floods and tornadoes of the Midwest and now even in our own hometown? Would we be proclaiming God's power and care through those who have worked tirelessly to help folks recover, folks who've opened up their homes to the homeless, folks who've mucked up homes and ripped up hardwood floors and sheetrock? Y'all, this is happening in Germantown, if you didn't know it. Not just in Arkansas and Oklahoma and Texas and other places. Folks who've prepared countless meals for the hungry. When we consider the beauty of God's creation, the Grand Canyon, Yosemite Falls, the miracle of a rainbow, the joy of a summer hydrangea, the smell of Memphis barbecue, do words of praise and gratefulness spill from our lips? The reality is God's mighty deeds do not have to be so mighty to warrant a loud proclamation. Peter tried to explain what was happening and why he tried. He recalled for all those faithful Jews who were staring at them in amazement the words of prophecy. The words that any good Jew would have known. Peter said to them, remember, guys, you learned this in confirmation class. We were told by the prophet Joah this was going to happen. It is going to happen to everyone, young and old, men and women, slave and free, everyone. This is going to happen to everyone, not just the preachers, not just the ones in the know. Everyone is going to be filled with God's Spirit, not just Cumberland Presbyterians and Methodists and Baptists or Pentecostals, not just the fundamentalists or conservatives or evangelicals, but even the liberals and free thinkers. And we will all speak in a way that the world will be able to hear and understand the message of God's deeds and power. That's what Peter said. We're all going to be a part of that. So, how do you think we're doing with this prophecy in 2019? How are we doing with this? Are the young people prophesying and articulating a new vision for the church? And if they are we in the church truly hearing them? I think they are prophesying. And some of us are listening, and some of us are not listening at all. What kind of dreams are the elderly dreaming these days? Are we taking the time to listen to them? Beverly St. John, some of you know her. She was a saint in the church. She was a much beloved leader in the CP Church. In fact, she was the first woman moderator of the Cumberland Presbyterian General Assembly, which, by the way, opens tonight in Huntsville, Alabama. I remember an article that she wrote for the Cumberland Presbyterian Magazine not long before she died, and she only died like a couple of years ago. She was a strong and vocal supporter for unifying the Cumberland Presbyterian Church and the Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. And by the way, that vote is going to be taken at General Assembly this week on Thursday, so we do ask your prayers for that action. She was on that first committee back in the late 70s and early 80s to help make that effort happen, which didn't happen back then. But she shared her dreams and visions for the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and what she wrote in that article struck me as a little odd coming from her, and I wondered if it would cause her some hate mail, if anybody could send Beverly hate mail. She said that she thought the CP denomination would remain a unique, separate denomination for probably, and these are her words, another generation or two. And then she thought that the denomination would join the larger Presbyterian Church USA. What'd she mean by that? Was she drunk? Was she senile? Was she prophetic in her advanced years? Today on Pentecost Sunday, we are also lifting up the work of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church around the world. And let me tell you, the CP missionaries and national leadership in the 16 countries in which we have worked are prophetic and visionary leaders. They do so much with so little. You just could not imagine. David and Sarah Lee preached the gospel in a country closed to Christianity. They were the missionaries from South Korea that went to Laos and Cambodia and even into China. Their church is busting open wide. Tom and Tammy George, we don't even acknowledge their presence as missionaries because they are absolutely in a closed country, Kyrgyzstan. But they use the evangelism tool, get this, of chicken farming and feed production to grow the church in Kyrgyzstan. Who would have thunk that? Finor and Socorro Pinhandino moved from a growing, vibrant church in Colombia. In fact, the mother church that they pastored had spun off about 16 daughter churches in Colombia. That's the church they left. Who would want to leave that kind of ministry? They went to Guatemala, started a medical clinic, and now there are about four churches and a ton of other ministries going on there. Patrick and Jessica Wilkerson, their two young daughters, are beginning their second year of work in Colombia, South America, with the new presbytery called Emmaus Presbytery. And Jessica is using her skills as a social worker to build a ministry among single mothers to give them training, skills, and spiritual support. Daniel and Kay Jang, they also moved from South Korea to start a church in Iloilo of the Philippines. And they have just recently broken ground for a new building, a long-awaited dream that is now becoming a reality to their ministry. There is no way that the CP missionary program can continue without the dreams and visions and people with the Holy Spirit setting them on fire to help those dreams become a reality. You have this right here. Everybody has one, so take it home with you. The Stott Wallace missionary offering, which, by the way, Margie did a great job talking about our mission work and this offering. The Stott Wallace missionary offerings helps to fund the salaries and benefits of all of our missionaries. So if you are so moved by the Holy Spirit today to make an offering, to make a donation, you can write your checks to the church. Just indicate that it's for the Stott Wallace Fund. We'll continue to take support for them throughout the year. Just indicate that it's for the Stott Wallace Fund. And I will say this is money in, money back out. Nothing is kept for administrative costs. And you, too, can become a part of the Pentecostal fiery work that God is doing around the world. So what visions are you seeing today? What dreams are you dreaming? How are you proclaiming God's deeds of power? It's the same Spirit at work today as it was 2,000 years ago and even 200 years ago. May not be expressed in quite the same way, may not be as dramatic, but still active and alive. God's Spirit can still knock us off our feet and cause us to do strange things. I'd like to think that it's God's Spirit that has orchestrated Peggy Jean to answer the call to be our new pastor. I like to think that it's God's Spirit that has enabled us to have a blessed and wonderful interim with George this past year as we've transitioned from one pastor to another. I like to think that it's God's Spirit that's moved in the hearts of each one of you to give to the ministries of this church, even sacrificially. Let's get that cornhole board, right? Let's get new tablecloths. I like to think it's the fire of God's Spirit that has allowed us to set some pretty lofty priority goals and even accomplish some of those goals this past year. I'd like to think that it's the crazy, wild movement of God's Holy Spirit that makes us think that we have a story to tell the world, a story of God's love and grace and power. Pentecost is alive and active today as it's ever been in history. The story is not finished. We are telling it still today as the Cumberland Presbyterian Church of Germantown and around the world. Amen.